Okay. Where are we holding at this time?
Morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Is it Rabotai?
No, it's 5%. So we're going to start here. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, so now we're holding Chavetz Chaim, number day 77. And on the day 77, it happens to be, it speaks about the seven rules of Tohelis. I don't know if they did it on purpose, but on day 77, Chavetz Chaim here, they speak about the seven rules of Tohelis. Now you remember where it is. If you ever want to check out the seven rules of Tohelis, the seven rules of speaking Lashon Hara for constructive purpose. And we mentioned many times in this space for until now that we mentioned that we're going to get to this. That you're only allowed to speak Lashon Hara when is it permitted, when it's for a constructive purpose. Now we said, but even if it's what makes a constructive purpose, you have to follow seven rules. If all these seven rules, you follow these seven rules, then you're allowed to say the Lashon Hara. So now, what are the seven rules? So now, the first rule is like this. One must be absolutely certain that if the information is accurate, either he has to witness the incident himself, or he investigated the report and found it to be accurate. But if one has second-hand information, which he wishes to relate for a constructive purpose, he must make it clear that his words are based on hearsay. So the first rule is, you have to be certain that it's true. Either I saw the story, but let's say I know a certain store, he cheats people. He gives people the wrong change, on purpose, or he sells people, you know, a bad product. So if I know it happened to me personally, fine. So the first thing is I have to know the information is true. Or if or let's say I know someone, I made sure I investigated, I saw the story, I investigated, I saw someone first hand, it happened to him. Good. What's the second condition? That one has to think the matter through and be sure that the wrong was committed. Sometimes we think a misdeed was committed. However, it's not so. So first is to make sure, be clear that it really, so first of all, it has to be true. The information has to be, I have to make sure that the information is accurate. That's number one. And number two, even if the information is accurate, I have to make sure that the intentions were the way I'm understanding it. I have to realize that it's the intentions of the storekeeper was really to give the wrong change. I have to be definitely sure that that was his intentions. So that's the second rule. The third rule is that we first have to go to the wrongdoer and try to help him to stop what he's doing. Go over to the store owner, let's say. Say, mister, I see that you're... I think that you give the wrong change to people. I think you did it more than once. I saw it. Maybe, you know, it's nice way. Maybe you can do tshuva. Maybe, you know, I don't know if it's worth it for your business. People might catch you. Convince him to stop doing this wrong. If you try to convince him and still it did not help, right? Then, you should consider to follow on telling someone else who could have influence on him. Telling his rabbi, his teacher, who could influence on him. But make sure first you should try to speak to him yourself. You don't have to make his have a bad day. You don't have to like make his rabbi look down and really cheese people. You can fix the situation yourself. Speak to him yourself. The fourth condition is you're not allowed to exaggerate. If this guy cheats people a few dollars, you can't say, oh, this guy cheats people a few $100. You can't go to his rabbi and say, oh, this guy's a swindler. He steals thousands of dollars from people. He steals a few. You have to tell him the truth. Say, this store owner steals a few dollars change from each guy, sometimes a quarter, sometimes $5, sometimes $10. Can't tell her, oh, this guy rips people off thousands of dollars. Can't exaggerate. To say exactly.
Over time he has, probably.
Okay, over time. You can say over time. You can say, over time, but say the truth. You could say over time, but tell the truth. Tell her, fine, you can tell her over time he stole thousands of dollars. You can't say he stole hundreds of thousands of dollars. Whatever the scenario is, go. The fifth condition is, which is a little bit of a hard one, one's intention must be solely to help the person. Let's say you have ill will towards this storekeeper. For whatever reason, you don't like the storekeeper. For whatever reason, you think he's a not nice guy. He's mean to people. He's your competitor. So if you have ulterior motives to save this Lashon Hara to his rav, then it's not for a clear, clean purpose. You're not allowed to tell it to his rav. Let someone else tell it to the rav. If you have issues with this guy, and you're not saying the Lashon Hara because you don't want everybody to get cheated, you're saying this Lashon Hara so this guy's rav looks down at him. So then it's awesome. So if you have any negative feelings toward this guy, if you have any reason that you'll feel better by speaking Lashon Hara about him, also you're not allowed to. It's a little hard. We have issues with everybody. But if you have a guy that he's... So therefore, if it's not the Rav, it's not so pasha, it's not so simple to do it, a scenario where you have issues with this person. Now, the sixth thing is, let's say you can result the same effect without speaking Lashon Hara. You have to try to use that option. Right? Let's say, we said before, the third condition was try to convince the person out of it. Let's say I could try to avoid customers from going. Let's say I know one customer always shops here. So I don't have to tell the brother, make this guy look down and make a whole scene. Tell this one guy, maybe it's not a good idea to shop there. You don't always have to go make a whole big thing out of it. Oh, you know, it doesn't have to be in the newspapers. If you know it's affecting one or two people, go over to them and tell them. So try to keep it small. The seventh thing is, one is not allowed to convey the information if it will result in any damage, which the halacha does not allow. If I am going to go and tell the Rav about this guy, right? Or I'm going to go tell someone who I think could have an influence on this guy. Now this guy, he's a very big macher, and he's going to put it in the newspapers. And then everyone's going to put this guy out of business. That's not allowed. The person who I'm speaking to try to help him, has to be a person who's not going to shut this guy's business down. It's not going to cause damage. It's going to try to help him. If by me speaking to this person, it's going to shut him down, you know. Meaning, if I know a guy cheats people, so if I'm going to go to a rub, maybe he could speak to him, tell him, you know, maybe he could do it fine. But let's say I go to the government to snitch on him. The government's going to shut the guy down. That's not allowed. Because I'm not going to shut the guy down just because he's stealing a few dollars from people. So you have to make sure, I'm not going to be damage done to him, not by halacha. Meaning, if the guy's cheating people, to try to stop him. It's not a reason that you're not going to do damage that's not considered by halacha. Right, you can't stitch on the government to a guy because he cheats a few people. It's because anything is shut him down. They're going to put him in jail. That's the law doesn't permit to put the guy in jail, put the guy behind bars for 10 years. You have to be careful that even whoever I'm speaking to is going to use their sitikla, and they're going to deal with the situation delicately. That's the time of law. If you want to look at it, it's important to try to remember them. Or you can look it up. If you ever want to speak Lashon Hara, you can look it up. Make sure before we speak Lashon Hara, you can look it up. It's day 77. Is the seven rules will tell us. It's easy to remember. Day 77. Fine. Baruch Hashem. Now we're going to start Bez Hashem with Hashem's help. The new parak. Baruch Hashem. We got to lyrics. Thank Hashem. We got to Hashem. Hu Hashem ki tov ki ulam chasdo. Hashem helped us get to the third parak already. The third and final parak of the Masechta. So now Bez with Hashem's help, we're going to start. So we're going to really try to get through the Mishnah with the Rashi's today. That's the goal. And Bez Hashem, on Monday, we'll be giving out a review sheet for the Mishnah and the first Gemara. I want to thank whoever made the sheet. Whoever made the sheet. Whoever was the person. What if someone here helped out to make the review sheet? Say thank you to them.
Thanks,
Doctor. Good. Fine.
Where are we holding?
We're holding now. We're starting a brand new Mishnah, a brand new parak, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Fine. So the SHM's review sheets is just to help you review. If you want, you could write out the answer. If you want, you could discuss it with the Chabrusa. It's just to help. Officially, Wednesdays, we're doing the review sheets. Because Wednesday, we have 1 hour. Officially, Wednesday, we're going to go over the review sheet to review the whole week. Because we have just 10 to 11 on Wednesdays. So therefore, usually Wednesday can be dedicated to try to review. If review sheet can help you, it can help. It's a help. If it helps you, good. If whatever answer...
Okay, Wednesday, there won't be a Chabrusa.
Wednesday, with your Chabrusa, you can do your review sheet with your Chabrusa. Okay. It's not a test, a review sheet. Speak it out in Chavis. If you like to write the answer, write out the answer. It's just a review. You know, speak out to other people. You go, if you have a heart, you don't know the answer, speak to other people about it. It's just a review to try to. It's important to review once a week. Anyway, it works out because there's not enough time to give shiur on Wednesday. So everything's Rav Hashem. I'm going to start giving out review sheets. Ready? There's two review sheets coming next week already. So the beginning of the week is going to be one, and Wednesday maybe the second one. We'll see. Rav Hashem, ready? The printing press is moving.
13A.
Rav Hashem, Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Let's see the new Mishnah with Hashem's up. The Elohein Elohim. And these are the people who get lashes. Right? If you remember, our Masechta is called Masechtas Makos. I think we forgot already. We're talking about Edom Zemin. What's this parak do with us? That's our whole Masechta. It's called Masechtas Makos. Right? So if we want to know what this has to do with our Masechta, the Elohein Elohim, this is Masechtas Makos. So we're saying here, the Elohein Elohim, these are the people who get Makos. Now, of course, we know these are not every case of Malchus. The Rambam said, how many cases are there Malchus in the Torah? Here we mentioned about, I don't know, 20 cases. Now, how many cases are there in the Torah that get Malchus? Anybody knows? Who could guess?
Over
200. Who could guess? Over 200? Really, every lav, every negative commandment that a person transgresses is Malchus. So almost the same. How many lav are there? There really, 248. And now, but the Rambam says, I don't know if every single one gets Malkus. So that's to say a lot of points. But the Rambam says, one second, they say the exact number. He says, somehow, I don't know why, but there are 207. The Rambam says, there are really two, our mission, the Rambam himself goes through them. If you want to look it up yourself, if you're in the mood, in Sanhedrin Parakia test, the Rambam mentions 207 scenarios that are deserving of Malkus.
So maybe these 40 of it, maybe these are the ones that are.
No, so we'll see exactly why.
The Paris, but then not, don't get
no, because there's still 168. So he gives the whole number, but he says over here, there are 207 cases of Rechai Malkus. 21 have Karis and not Mises Bestin. So maybe that's the answer.
Right.
So these are most of our Mishnah probably, because our Mishnah also has more, but use our Mishnah.
That's the first question.
That Mishnah. That's what I'm mentioning already. There's 21 cases. 18 cases have Misa B'Dei Shemayim, fine, and 168 of them don't have Karis or Mises Bestin. So basically,
18 has what?
There are eight. Sorry, 1 second. There are 18 of them. Give the number 1 second. That have a Chiyah Misa B'Dei Shemayim. They also come with Misa from Shemayim, Malkus and Misa B'Dei Shemayim.
Should we define those terms?
1 second, and 168 that don't have cards or Mishnah. Meaning there are really two. Our Mishnah does not, even though our Mishnah says these are the cases that get Malkus, of course we're not giving you the full list. There are really 207 scenarios. Right? Now they have either 21, which our Mishnah lists, that they have Karis, which means they have a death penalty that a person, they die young, but they do not have Mises Bestin. They're not scenarios where Bestin.
Not death penalty, die young.
Karis
is
cut off from Shemayim. But at a young age, before 60. And there's Karis and there's Karis Va'aribi. Karis isn't going to die. What does Karis mean? I mean, the person's going to die before 60. Somebody will make a party on the 60th birthday that they weren't Chayv Karis. Somebody will make a party. There's Swarm bringing that to make a Suda. You weren't Chayv Karis. You didn't die from Karis. 60 is you're going to die before 60. Karis Va'aribi, sometimes it comes out. Ariri means also childless. If they had children, the children will die. There's Karis and Karis Va'aribi.
What if he does when he's 62 years old?
I don't know. Hashem will take care of him. Hashem will, I don't know. He's does.
No, what about the
1 second. So I don't want to get caught. I was just mentioning this quickly, just as a side note to know, because our Mishnah does not say all the cases, 207 cases. Now there are 21 cases which are a lot of an our Mishnah which get Karis and don't get Mises Bestin. Meaning Hashem takes care of the best. It's not Bestin's job to take care of you. It's Hashem's job. Hashem will work out. Hashem will give you Karis. Hashem will put the guy in a car accident. He'll figure out how to kill you. It's Hashem's business. It's not Bestin's job. Yes, what's your question?
So is that death by the act of heaven?
Yes, that's exactly. So we'll start. That's the main lines I wanted to speak about. The 21, which will have Karis, and it's not best as a job to kill. You'll be killing from heaven. Good. So let's see. These are some of the cases that a person gets Malkus. Fine. What's the first case? Haba ala chasai. Someone who comes, who marries their sister. Someone has relations with their sister. Right, which is a chiyuv karis, right, which is has a penalty of getting punished, a death penalty from Shemayim, from Hashem, from heaven. Then that's case number one. The al achos aviv, or on his father's sister, correct? His father and on his father's sister. Right now, of course, now every case is either or. Until the last case is either or. Until grush v'chalus almana, and grush, all these cases are either or. Either it was al achos aviv or on achos aviv. His father's sister, his aunt, va'al achais imar, or the sister of his mother, va'al achais ishtay, or on the sister of his wife, as long as his wife is still alive. Right? After his wife dies, no more ishtay. A person is only not allowed to marry their wife's sister as long as she's alive. Va'al ishtay achiv, and on their va'al ishtay achiv, on the wife of your brother, of course, unless it's the case of yibam, which they are terrified of it, but unless God, the al eshes achi aviv, or the wife of the brother of your father. I mean, your father's brother's wife, your aunt, your father's brother's wife. Good. The al anita, or with anita, a woman who's tummy from Tumas Nita. So all these cases, one who has relations with these people, they are chayiv karis, and therefore, what is Bestin do? Even though Bestin doesn't give the karis, but Bestin still gives malchus. So Bestin still has a job to take care of you. So still you need witnesses to come in and tell you what happened to you, say the story to give the guy life. Good? Fine. Almana l'kayin gadol. Let's say it's a widow who marries a Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol has a very high level of Kedusha. He's not allowed to marry a widow. Right? He has to marry a
virgin.
And not a lady who was, right, not an almana. Almana of Kohen Gadol. Or a grusha v'chaluta l'kohen hetir. Right? Or a grusha, a lady who's a divorcee. Or a chaluta, a lady who did chalitza, lay a kohen hetir to a kohen hetir. It means the regular kohen. So a regular kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha or chalutza. If he marries any of these, then he will get malchus. Good? Fine. There you go. Mamzeres unesina liYisrael. A regular Yisrael, a regular Jew, who marries either a mamzeres, right, someone who was born from a forbidden marriage, unesina, right, or unesina. Who are the nesinim? Nesinim are people who aren't really Jews. That they give onim. Who is the story for Gavanim? Usually we start learning Nach, you end up getting at least start Yeshua, and then we stop. So in the beginning of Sefer Yeshua, before we stop learning Nach, it says the story of the Gavanim. It's the first few prakim over there. Yeah, the Gavanim, right in the time of Yeshua.
They were from a faraway place. They converted it sincerely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They said it'll be woodchoppers and water carriers. They say they made believe they want to be sincere Jews. Basically, the whole thing was fake. Really, they were a bunch of phonies. They were what?
They're from Israel. They're Canaanites.
Yeah, so they're really Canaanites. Basically, they mess up. So you're not allowed to marry them. And the Torah gives a special, we have a special issue to marry these people. So therefore, also, one who marries one of these people will get Malka. We give them lashes, also against the law. Good? Fine. Now, we have a case where it's going to be double. Almana Ugrusha. Let's say you have a Kayan Gadol, obviously, because he's the only one who can't marry Almana, a widow. And she's an almana and she's a grusha. She's a widow and a divorcee. What happened? Her first husband died. She married one husband, he died. She married a second husband, she got divorced. And now Kohen Gadol went and married her. So what's the halacha? He did two things wrong in one shot. She's one lady with two tags on her. So therefore, he gets double malchus. He gets two malchus. The wrong lady to mess around with. Nicely, he got two malchus. Fine. Almana, so here's almana ugrusha. Again, it's a lady with both of them. So chayavin aleh here, he is chayav on it, he's liable. Mishum, because of shtei shemas, meaning two names, meaning two different names of Yisurim. There's two tags this lady has. So you got two different Yisurim. One, he was forbidden to her because of Almana and Grusha. So we will give him Malkus twice. We'll give him two sets of lashes. Or also, similarly, Grusha v'chalutza, Grusha v'chalutza, eno chayav, elo mishum achas v'lvas. Let's say a regular Kohen marries a woman. Well, she's a grusha, she's a divorcee, and a chalutza, and she did chalitza. So then, even though it seems to be two different isurim, you only give one penalty. Only give one lashes. Meaning, she married one man, she got divorced. She married a second man, right? And now, he died. She happens to be also almana. Now, what happens? She went, and she's supposed to marry his brother. She didn't marry his brother, she did chalitza. So she's a divorcee, and she's really a divorcee, almana and a chalutza. But now, the regular Kohen is no issue of almana. So he has two issues. He has the issue of grusha and chalutza. She's a chalutza. So here he's saying, only chai one. That's the Mishnah's chadish. You only chai for one. Which even though the Torah says, in the Pasuk, that it says a grusha, and we make a drusha for a chalutza, since it, Rashi says, it's not explicit.
It's not in the Torah.
Oh, so that's the big machlokes. You're saying dangerous words. Since it's not explicit in the Torah. It's not minatar is a very big machalos for Shaina. They say it's not minatar. Because if it's not minatar, so what's that? So Chanan wants to say, why don't you get malchus for since she's a chalitza? She has two tags. She's a divorcee and she's a chalitza. A Kohen can't do any of these. So why don't you get two malchus? Our mission isn't one malchus. So Chanan said, you don't get malchus for a chalutza. Because it's not midaraisa. The reason you can't marry a chalutza is because it's only midarabana. That's Chanan wants to say. Now it's a huge machalos for Shaina, if it's true or not. Now, if it's true, then fine. You're telling me. Chanan wants to go to Rishani. Let's say the reason why you don't get malchus, you don't get lashes for marrying a chalutza, because for a Kohen to marry a lady who did chalitza, it's only usher from the rabbanim. The rice holds you're not allowed to marry a divorcee. She's like a semi-divorcee. She didn't really get married to this guy. The Torah made her connected to her husband. Her husband died. The Torah made her automatically connected to her. To his brother. So now, she cut that off. So she's not a real divorcee. She got a little connection. She's like, a semi-divorcee. So the R sheet is who holds, which is Rashi and Kedusha, the Rashi, the whole is that it's only Midrabana. To marry a Chalutza, even though the Gemara brings the Pasuk, it's just a smacha, we're just reluctant to bring the support, really it's the Rabbana. So that's one pshat. Now, our Rashi, obviously, doesn't say that. It doesn't seem, it's a very big one, Chalutza had to understand our Rashi. Our Rashi says, a whole pshat, it's not explicit in the Torah. That's what our Rashi says. Our Rashi says, since the word, the halakha to marry a Chalutza, the Isra, is only from a drusha, from the word Ve'isha, therefore, it's not going to get its own malchus. If you're ready and getting malchus with grusha, it's a subcategory. It's similar to like an avin atalda almost. Like in Hilcha Shabbos, you have like if the main category and you do its subcategory, you only get one time. But we'll see Rashi. Basically, Rashi says, since the Torah only made a drusha, it doesn't say a specific name for it, therefore, you only get one time. Which means like this. We might say, buy almana and grusha for a kind of girl. The Torah is telling explicitly two different things. Don't marry almana, don't marry grusha. So there you get two malchus. But by chalutza, it doesn't say chalutza straight out. It didn't say kohen can't marry chalutza. We made a drusha of X word ve'isha and said ve'isha next to grusha, so it means a chalutza. So therefore, Rashi, since the Torah didn't explicitly give me its own name and tell me you can't marry a chalutza, it's just from a drusha. So it's like a subcategory of a grusha. Once you're getting malchus for a grusha, it's already in the package for a chalutza.
But don't the rabbis already forbid yibun anyway?
That's another story, but it doesn't matter to everybody, it's true, maybe you should have done Yibam. But the reality is she did Chalitza, right? It's true, she should, we're not saying she should have done Yibam, you're right, the Gemara says it's better not to do Yibam. The Gemara, it's right, the Gemara Yibam says it's better to do Chalitza, because you don't do Yibam for the right reasons, it's true. But now that you did Chalitza, she can't marry a Kayim. Now that she did Chalitza, you're right, Nachon, it was the right thing to do, it's true, she did the right thing, but it's the wrong thing to go and marry a Kayim afterwards. That's the problem. The first thing she did was good, but she should not have married. But she's not a married. Good. So now let's see Rashi in the first section of the Mishnah. Good. Let's see the Rashi's on the Mishnah. Let's see the first section. The Rashi in the first section of the Mishnah. Oh. Elu ein alek. Let's see Rashi. Elu ein alek. So Rashi says right away. Elu lav dafka. These, when we say these, doesn't mean these and these are the only cases. It's not specifically, we don't mean that specifically these are the cases of, right? Like we said earlier, Rambam said there's 207 cases of malchus. When we say elu, these are the cases, we don't mean these are the only cases. That's what Rashi starts off right away to help us out. Elu lav dafka. We don't mean specifically these are the only cases. Because the Tana, the Shire, because the Tana taught, the Shire means he left out. The Shire means he left over, really. He told and he left out like in Tuva, many cases of Malchus. Right? He left 207. He bring down 207 cases. Many cases. Like in the case of Malchus, Tuva means a lot. The Tana left over many cases of Malchus that he didn't mention. So Rashi's Vaz, so what's special about these cases? Well, why do our Mishnah say these cases specifically? You could do 207 cases. Why do you pick these out of 207 cases? Eller rather, there's a chiddush each part of the Mishnah, there's a chiddush in that. Tana chayve krisa. It talks the cases where you get karas. Lashmeina to teach us the yesh malchus b'chayve krisa. So how often you get malchus when you chayve karas? I wouldn't know that. I read the Torah. It says you do the ABC, you get karas. Our Mishnah didn't know you all. If even though in Shemayim they give you karas, Bestin gives you lashes. Fine. So that's what you have to say. The first cases of the first bunch of cases in our Mishnah, right? All those forbidden marriages. Right, the wife, the father's mother, all the aunts, and all those things. That's all up to the case of Almana Tekayin Galal. Almana Tekayin Galal, those cases, there's not Chayv Krisa, it's just a lot. So why do you teach? What's the Chiddush? Chana, what's the Chiddush of those cases? So the first section of the Mishnah until Nida, all those are all Chayv Krisa, right? Achayt, Chazim, Chazav, Chazim, Chazishta, all those are, until Nida, with Nida are all Chayv Krisa.
They're all and Malkus, both, Harvis
and Malkus. And Mishnah tells us, not only do you get out, you also get Malkus. That's the Chiddush of our Mishnah. Now, why do you tell me the case of an almana and a grusha marrying a kohen in these cases?
Malchus only.
But why are you mentioning only these cases? Rashi wants to know. There's 207 cases. Why are you mentioning these cases? So almana u'grusha chayv aleha mishlum shtei shemus. So first of all, we want to tell you that you get double malchus if it's almana and a grusha at one time, even though it was in one action, since it was two tags on her. The Chiddush of Mishnah, you get twice. You might think you get once. It's one lady. It's only one Esther. You did it at the same time. No. Two women.
Is that just one case of this group?
It's he gets two? Just one case in that group, the second group. If he gets double.
Just, yeah, that's the only case in our mission you get double, correct.
So all the other I don't understand, what's that team? How's that
team? So chiddush is that chiddush. You would, I would think, you, even though you have two tags on you, maybe you get, you did one action.
Is it group with all the ones?
No, it's not going to group to the ones. So how many actions did he do?
Two.
How many actions did he do?
Oh,
this
one.
One.
Married her once.
Good. Once. Did one action. Now, comes out, she had two tags on her. So our mission tells you, two tags is two malchus. That's not that. It's two, since she's a widow and a divorcee, and a kohen can't marry either of them, so even though he did one action, you could still get double malchus.
What is the definition of double? Because if you're only capable of handling, say, like, nine lashes.
No, so we'll give you a little get later. We'll tell what you do to get better. You'll come back the rest of the month. We'll call you back. We'll call you for your redo. We'll make sure your scars are away. You know, when you finish the scars, we'll say to the doctor, these scars go away. We'll bring you back for a second chance.
Okay.
Second chance. Good. Meaning, but Hanan, the Chiddush is that specific by a mana and a grusha you get two, and not by a chalutza, a grusha and a chalutza. There you only get one. Understand? Almana and a grusha, almana and a grusha, Kohen who marries a divorcee and a widow at this, right? Then you get two. You get two moms. But if she's a chalutza and if she's a divorcee lady and she's a chalitza of a regular, there you only get one. So there is a chiddush that we're differentiating. We're saying, why? Because we're giving you the Gemara Mishnah, give a whole pshat. By almana and grusha, there's two tags. So since there's two names, almana and grusha, you get double. But by grusha and chalutza, for a regular client to marry a divorcee and a chalutza, there we have, it's not its own. And chalutza is not its own entity, therefore you're only going to get one. Well, however, the rest you can explain grusha chalutza too. But let's see further. V'tana tevel umay sirusha. The Mishnah further is going to say cases of one who eats tevel, which is untied food, umay sirusha shlay nitra tumasay, or my sirusha was true was not taken off yet. Which means, what does that mean? We're going to see in the Mishnah later. Oh, which means the original owner, what's the halacha? The original owner, he's first to take off truma and give it to the kohen. Step one. Good? Right? And then, he's also afterwards, that's step one, take off percentage for the kohen. Then step two is he's supposed to take off meiser rishon for the levi. This guy, what did he do? He skipped the step. He skipped giving it to the kohen. He wasn't in the mood of kahana today. Said, I'm going straight to step two, and giving it to the Levi. What's the problem with that? When the Levi gets his stuff, there's still Truma on here. Correct? Right. If Truma was never taken off of this whole pile, so he's getting stuff with Truma. So now, let's say you eat that. So that's a lot, because he, even though it's, because it's Meister Shani, because you, but it wasn't Truma. So therefore, they're also going to get a lot of eating Truma. So it's interesting, even though it was already separated to the Levi, he could still get a lot of eating. So they're also,
Rashi
said, "You
didn't know. You're telling me
he's a kid. If he didn't know, he's even if it's a shogeg, it doesn't matter. That's the case. If he didn't know, it's worse. If he didn't know, then he gets malchus. If it was a shogeg, you get malchus. If he didn't know, we find that later. So make sure you get your. If you're a lady, make sure.
How can you not know?
If you want to get malchus, nachal, you're right. It could be he didn't know.
He
knew.
All these cases just
one. Nachal, he got nachal. He didn't know. Somebody knew.
Two witnesses.
Nachal, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
Didn't get it separated over there. Okay, I'm eating it anyway."
Right, you knew, and it's close. So you get Malkus. So make sure you get your Meister Shani from a good, reliable source.
Alright.
Good, fine. So what's the Chiddush in these cases? Why does our Mishnah have to explain to me, to tell me the Chiddush that they get Malkus? They're saying the following. The Tevel Meister Risha, Shalom to the Masai. The Loim Lefarish Lav the two Behedi. It's not explained, the Lav the two, Behedi explicitly in the Torah. So our Mishnah has to mention it to us. V'chenin also hektish shaloi nefta, also hektish, which was not redeemed. Also, right, we know hektish, if I make these fruits, I say that they become hektish, they belong to the Beis HaMikdash, right? I'm not allowed to eat them until they're redeemed. That's halacha by hektish, correct? If I say these fruits should go to hektish, they should be sanctified, they should go to the Beis HaMikdash, right? What do? You have to redeem them onto money, and then you can eat the fruits. Let's say someone ate the fruits of hektish. That's a lot. Correct? Someone eats hektish fruits. It's a lot. Good. Now, so the idea, since the Tana hektish, since we're already going on the topic of hektish, Tana Meister Sheni Bahadei. Therefore, we also said Meister Sheni, the Bach changed it to Bahadei, means with it. Why? The Tarabayu Malkas did too, because both cases, Malchus did with their Malchus. Mishum is because of Mechusrei Pedia, a lack of redeeming it. So which means, really there's no Chiddush in Maaser Sheni. Once we spoke about Hekdesh, Hekdesh is identical to Maaser Sheni because in both scenarios, your issue was you should have redeemed them onto money. Right? Whether it was Hekdesh or Maaser Sheni fruits, both of them, what are you supposed to do with it? Let's say I have fruits that are Hekdesh. Or fruits that are Maaser Sheni. Hekdesh, the Beis HaMikdash, doesn't need my apples. Right? So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to redeem it and give the money to the Beis HaMikdash, right? Maaser Sheni also, the halacha is, I have to redeem it. And then buying new fruits of Yerushalayim. So both cases, my wrongdoing was I didn't redeem it. So that's why once you brought in Hekdesh, you brought in Maaser Sheni. Good? Fine. Now Rashi stops here. For some reason, he doesn't go through the rest of the cases of the Mishnah. I guess he's running out of ink. I don't know. It says, V'chein berubon, yesh tavar chadash. Rashi, in most cases, our Mishnah says, most cases, our Mishnah says, there is a Chiddush, he wants us to figure it out. He thinks it's simple. He goes through part of the Mishnah for us. And the last case of the Mishnah, he just said, bless us, do it. He's getting his homework. He says, if you look deeply into it, you'll realize there's a Chiddush in almost every single case. Why? I wouldn't think logically, I wouldn't understand this. Malchus, our Mishnah has to reiterate it to make sure I know of it. And that's why we specifically mention these cases and not the other rest of the total 207 cases. Good? The Gemara mentions some of them. The Gemara takes care of some of them. But Rashi, took care of a few fuss.
Just question on the words that hedge in it. The first time it was used, it was meant explicitly.
So the Bach changes it. The Bach changes them both Bahadei. They both mean meaning Bahadei. Look, what's that? Sorry. The first one is Behed Yo with the Aleph.
Yeah.
The second one, the Bach changes to Behed Yo with the Hey. That's the difference.
At the end there's a Hey. I see.
Right. See, the Bach change. You're right. The first Behed Yo with the Aleph at the end means explicitly. And this one, Bahadei, means with it, means together with it. And says to that, as I said, you make sure to see the Bach.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to say the Tana. We said Hekdesh and Maaser Sheni explicitly, Behedya explicitly. The Bach changes it to Bahadei. That little Behedya over there, the Bach changes it to with it. Good? It's good. At least cat, you caught me. That's a boy. That's right. It's only with the Bach change is the difference. Good. Fine. Now we mentioned in the Mishnah in Nesina. What does the Bach say about the Vav? Nesinim. Interesting why it's the change to Nesinim. Harmish just said Nesinah. I guess it's, I don't know. So Nesinim, who are the Nesinim? Minha Giv'aynim, they are from the Giv'aynim, right? Which that's from the story by Yeshua. They're called the Giv'aynim, those people. Umalkus, and so why do you get Malkus? Be married if someone there. Mishum latis chatamam, because of the Israel, don't marry them. The special Israel Torah, don't marry the nations that were in Eretz Yisrael, right? Kanani, Chiti, Yevusi, Prizi, all those nations, and Chanan told us these Gevainim, their origin, they originated from Canaan, right? So you told me Chanan, that's why they're from Canaan.
I think that's what Rabbi Monster says.
So that's what he said. So it sounds good. So that means like this, Israel Torah is like the Chatamam, don't marry them. Was going in the seven nations which were in Eretz Yisrael before we came and we killed them. So he said, don't marry them. So therefore, Gevainim, you can't marry them because of this issue. Could be you wouldn't have realized that they're from the Gemara. Could be our mission is to tell you. You wouldn't have realized they're from these people. Fun. Almana Ugrusha. Let's say someone is a widow and a Grusha. So Rashi says, what happened? What's the story? This, right, the Kohen married a lady who is a widow and a divorcee. What happened? She is Almana Ma'ishacha. First, she became a widow from a man, from one husband. Then she got divorced from a second husband. So Chayiv Aleha, he is liable on it, this Kohen Gadol. Shtei Malkus, two sets of Malkus. Why? Mishum, because of Shtei Shemos, because of two names, meaning what? Two mentionings in the Torah. Mishum Shtei Azharas, two warnings in the Torah. Shesteim, because both of them, Mifurashim, they are explained, and they're like really explicit. The mimicker in the Pasuk, the Azhar and the warning, Azharaka, and the warning in the Pasuk is going back on both of them. Meaning what? I mean, what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says like this. The Pasuk says, the Pasuk says, Vayikra, Parak, Chav, Aleph, Pasuk, Yudal. It says the following. Almana, a widow, Grusha, divorced lady, the Chalala, and so does the Chalala, who was a messed up, also, or a Zaina. All these people, the Pasuk says, Es Ela lo yikach. These people, according to God, should not take. Right? So in a sense, the end of the pasuk is Ela Laika, don't take, it means don't take any of these. Don't take Almana or Grusha. Which means the Torah is specifically telling you two different Isser. Don't take Almana, don't take a Grusha. So you took both of them, therefore it's two separate Lavin, and therefore you get two separate Malkus. So far so good? Good. Then I'll get a little copy. This is what Rashi, but Grusha and Chalutza. Why Grusha and Chalutza? You only get one. That's it. Almana and Grusha, Almana and Grusha, Almana and Grusha, they said it's two lots. But we say no, if a regular coin marries a Chalutza, if she's a Grusha, she's a divorced lady, and she's a Chalutza, then you only get one. Why? Let's see Rashi. Grusha and Chalutza. Grusha, vehi chalutza. She's a grusha and she's a chalutza. In a chayv aleha, elamishim grusha. You only get one makas for which thing? Just for grusha. You don't have to worry about chalutza. You only get chayv for grusha. Nothing else. One time for grusha. But she's two tags. She's a grusha and it doesn't matter. She's under one category of grusha. Why? She chalutza, that a chalutza. In the Ksuvah, it's not written in the Torah explicitly that a kohen can't marry a chalutza. Ella rather, may rivuya from the ribuy, maisinala, we bring it from there. We learn it from the ribuy. Aria means from the extra words. From the extra words of the pasuk. The Tanya, we learned in a b'raisa b'kedushin, in the Mesachta's Kedushin, daf ayin chasam al-alat, that the pasuk says, grusha. A kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha. It says, eni elia la grusha. I only know a kohen can marry a grusha. Chalutza minayin. From where do I know that a kohen can either marry a lady who did chalitza? Tamu lima, the pasuk says it, ve'isha. It says the extra word, ve'isha. Because what does the pasuk say? It says in...
Fancy.
Fancy. No, this is super fancy. There's like even...
Super fancy.
It's not even fancy. It's like extra fancy. It's like, you know... It says here, the back of my gemara, they bring down the pasuk in. There's like in the back. It's turned to the back. Right, there's like, you have to be, there's like the next level.
The next, the super,
super. Super, there's like, yeah, you gotta get this guy. Like, the puzzle for the Rashi is also. That's like the next level. So, instead of here, what's the pasuk? What's the pasuk? The pasuk says, so like this, Ve'isha, Grusha, Me'isha, La'yikhu. It says, a woman, Ve'isha, Grusha, Me'isha, La'yikhu. It says, a kohen should not take a woman who is divorced from her husband, he shall not take. So they shall not take, a kohen shall not take. So why just say, basically the isha is an extra word. The pasuk doesn't have to say the extra word, the isha. So they would make a drasha that's telling you, not only you can't take a grusha, you also can't take another woman who's similar. Who's a similar woman to that? That a kohen can marry? A chalutza. She's a semi-grusha. That's the Gemara's drasha. Good? But Rashi says, since it didn't say explicitly in the Torah, you can't marry a grusha and a chalutza, it was only learned out of a drasha, right? Therefore, it's not a separate law, because it didn't give it its own name. If the Torah wanted to give it its own name, then you only get one law. Meaning like this. Even though this lady had two tags on her, she's a grusha and she's a chalutza is not its own entity. It's a subcategory of grusha. So you don't get... Sorry, so it's a little complicated. Because if you're just a chalutza alone, you get malchus. The kohen marries a chalutza alone. Yeah, you get malchus. You would get malchus. You're saying, since you're already getting for grusha, Rashi's saying... And the chalutza is like a subcategory, you're only going to get one. Cause it's in the grusha.
Like divorce, you're marrying a divorcee. In either case, you're marrying a divorcee.
No, but let's say if you marry a lady, let's say, but farm it, she's a divorcee plus, she really has two tags. Saying the second tag is really part of the first tag.
So sometimes, in either case, it's a divorcee.
Good.
In either case, it's an element of divorcee.
Well,
so
that was
meant to be Amana. That also, it's a regular coin. We're talking about a regular, it's not a coin, God, like, no, he's not worried.
But what happened? Damana,
someone who husband died. But she's a grusha. She has element to mean a grusha. She's a divorcee. That means she got divorced and she also did chalitza. She's a divorcee also. Now we're saying if she's just a chalutza alone, right? If she's just a chalutza alone, what would happen? She gets malchus? Just, yeah. Saying since, but chalutza, since it's just from a drusha, Gemara is saying, and it didn't say it explicitly to her, since it's like a subcategory of the grusha, and therefore you only get one malchus. It's a chiddush, our Mishnah son. Which means
the one cover for the grusha covers the chalitza.
Because when you have a similar idea in Hilchos Shabbos, right? If you right, you know you have avos and toldos, right? And in Hilchos Shabbos you have an av, the main category of the isra, and then you have the tol, right? Let's say someone does an av, the main category plus a subcategory of the same thing, you only get one malchus. It's like a subcategory, so to speak. It's a similar idea, but I mean it's definitely a chiddush, and but it's even a bigger chiddush. Why? Because the thing that was a drusha, it wasn't explicit. Since the Torah didn't get its own name, its own label, you're part of the other label, therefore you're all under the same umbrella, and you only get one malchus. That's how Rashi we hear learns. Now, it seems like from this Rashi, that if you would just be chalitza alone, you would get maksa and say iser deraisa. The big issue is, the big problem is because, what happened?
How much you do chalitza alone? Because she's married and her brothers.
Her husband died.
Her husband died.
When she's not married.
And then she does chalitza.
Regular coins.
Then she has to marry. The brother.
Nachon.
She makes a chalitza.
You're right. She's always almana and a chalitza. She's almana. We don't care for regular when she's almana. Right, right, right. So she's a chalitza. Almana is a widow.
It's the chalitza.
Chalitza is a lady who she had to do chalitza. Her brother, her husband died without children.
And he had a brother.
She is three, but it doesn't bother us. Nachon, she's almana, a grusha, and a chalitza. We don't care for regular coin. We don't care that she's almana. It's true. It doesn't bother us. A regular coin is allowed to marry a widow. So, but it's only us for her to marry. I mean, why can't a regular call marry this lady? For two reasons. It's true, this lady has a tag of almana. She has a tag of being a divorced, a widow, a divorcee, and a chalutz. But for a regular call to marry, she's allowed to marry almana, a regular call. So the only bother us, two tags bother us.
Because the calling God will marry.
Thanks. Us. Also two. No, because grusha and chalutz are one.
That's what he's saying.
That's the thing. So
what you do, grusha,
it's under an
state
rest. So again, so right. So a kohen gadol automatically, a kohen gadol would come to
one for amana, one for grusha.
One for grusha, because grusha chalutz again is going to be one. So you come on. Good. Nachon. So now,
I'm sorry. Grusha means divorcee.
Because yeah, she's divorced.
And so chalutza means
she did chalutza.
That would that did chalutza.
Right. She did chalutza. Correct.
Because she's a widow though.
But a regular kohen can marry her. Only kohen gadol can marry a widow. A kohen gadol can't marry a widow.
When did the divorce occur in the chalutza?
First, you married one man. Man number one, she got divorced. Finished. He's done.
The chalutza, there was no divorce.
There's no divorce.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I'm saying the chalutza. The chalutza is a semi-divorce because what happens is, I'll explain again. When Omar Yavamis talks about it, a chalutza, why is it a semi-divorce? Because automatically, once a lady died in the street with no children, the Torah automatically makes her almost married. It's almost like the way the Rishonim explained it is. It's always like the Torah did the Kedushin. We know in every marriage you need Kedushin and Nisuin. There's two parts to the marriage, right? The Torah over there in that scenario does the Kedushin for you.
Automatically. Him with the mother, with the brother.
Him with the brother.
Then she gets out of it with the
Yubo. So she's basically with Chalitza. So she's cutting a Kedushin. Now usually, if a lady would cut a Kedushin, she's considered a full Grusha. That's not really a Kedushin, it's just like an idea, some type of idea. Basically, the Torah made some type of semi-connection. It's really even less than just a Kedushin, some connection. Something similar to just a Kedushin. And his job is, if you do Yibum, you're just doing Nisuin. That's what Yibum would be, so to speak. It's just the second part of the matter. The Torah gives you the first part. Now, if you did Chalitza, you're cutting off the first part. Right? Now, you're not really a divorced lady. You wouldn't really ever met. You didn't really ever do a kedusha with this man. The Torah forced you and gave you. It's called a zika. A zika is like a connection, like a force that connected you. The Torah made you connect to this man, and then you cut it off. So you're a semi chalutza. Right? So now
you made it some kind of element of a divorce.
Yes,
So with the yibum, it's a semi. You wouldn't need kedusha.
It's just via. Yeah, it's no kedushin. What's it called? Yeah, it's no what's it called? It's just the nisuin. You go straight to the nisuin. That's how it works. Nachon, you skip the kedushin. You know, it's a pretty quick marriage. No ceremony. You should do evil. You don't have to make it. You know, it's much easier. Half the job. You have to have rabbis do kedushin. Yeah,
he doesn't have to acquire.
No, there's no kedushin. No aria. There's none. It's ready done. The tari did that first step for you.
As soon as he's there.
Yeah, the second he's nifter, automatically she has a zika to all the brothers. The Torah wants her to go to the older brother.
She doesn't have to sit shiva for him for a week or something.
No, she'll sit shiva. I'm saying, but she sits shiva, she's engaged. She's an engaged
she's
lady.
Red.
She's a say mazel tov. We're sorry to hear you think the bad news, but also mazel tov on your new thing.
So important.
Okay. No. If you want, I'll talk to him.
If there was no rabbinic decree saying you can't do it, would he be forced to give her a kedusha?
What?
Would he?
No, you don't have to do nothing. It's not a real kedusha. You're not going to have to give her a kedusha. It's not a real kedusha. The Rishonim explains some. It's so called like some type of element of like a kedusha that happens. Of course, you're saying you don't have to write. You don't have to divorce. You don't have to give it. You give chalitza. Chalitza is like the get, but you don't have to give her a kedusha. Nothing. You just do chalitza, you cut it off. It's less than a kedushin. It's a small connection. It's just an example. You don't do that's what happens by you. But basically, so this lady, so how do we get into the fun? So we're saying grusha chalutza, since chalutza is under one umbrella, it's a semi grusha. We learned it out of grusha. It's not even its own pasuk. It's just we connected it in the Torah. We learned it's like we learned it off of grusha. So someone who marries a lady, a kohen who marries a lady who's a divorcee, and a chalutza, it's one thing. It's going to be only one malchus. That's a chiddush. It's a pretty big chiddush for us.
So that's the chalitza. Marry the chalitza, but not the.
No, he can marry a kohen. Can
no,
marry.
He cannot marry the chalitza, but can marry the amanah.
Yeah, he can marry amanah. Yeah.
Can the woman refuse?
Yeah, sure. Because the woman refuses.
Yeah, she can marry the chalitza.
As I said, what's that chalitza? What's that? Now he's another man. It's usually supposed to.
The brother.
No, but
she.
That's the chalitza process. That's her refusal to marry the brother.
Part of it is.
Yeah, but she broke that connection and spits in it, right?
Right. Yeah, they spit in the shoe fine. Let's try to get. That's the Yivamis. Maybe in Daf Yomi, whoever wants to learn Daf Yomi, they can learn Yivamis.
No,
no,
no.
If
you don't have children.
Fine. Whoever. What?
I think it has to
go
with the current husband that died, I think. I would guess.
Well, you want if it's the other way,
because
she's
saying she's
had
children already.
From a previous marriage.
It doesn't matter. It goes to this husband. She has to do him anyway. It doesn't go by. It goes by. One second. It goes by him. Because the whole point is to continue his name. Yeah. Whoever is interested in hearing, learning more about this, you can learn Daf Yomi, learn Yivamis now, and you'll learn a lot about this. Pretty hard, but you can learn about it if you want. Or you can just Google it. Fine. That's the first half of our mission. Fine. So I want to see this Rashi again inside. This Grusha V'Chalutza, hard Rashi. Let's see this Rashi again. Grusha V'Chalutza. So Grusha V'Chalutza. Grusha, she's a divorcee from the first husband. V'hi Chalutza, she's also a Chalutza. She also did Chalitza from her second husband. Eina Chayv, Aleha El Mishum Grusha. You're only Chayv because of Grusha. What? What does that mean? She Chalutza Eina Ksuva. The Chalutza is not written explicitly in the Torah. Ella mirivuya masina law. We bring it from a riboy. We understand it from a extra word, the tanya of kedusha. We look at the brayta of kedusha, ayin chesmet aleph, that it says grusha. Only ella grusha. The Torah tells me the word grusha. I only know it's not to me. Only a kohen can't marry a grusha. Chalutza minai. A chalutza. For where do I know a kohen can't marry a chalutza? Tamalar veisha. Over there it says veisha. Extra word. Fine. That's the first part of our mishnah. Baruch Hashem, mazel tov. We learned the piece of the mishnah. Now let's see the mishnah further. Next cases. Next case is the people who are chayiv lav, more people who do lav, and they are chayiv malchus. Hatame sha'achal es hektish. Hatame, who eats hektish, meaning a person who he's allowed to eat stuff that a friend, he's qualified to eat stuff from the Beis HaMikdash, truma, he's a kohen or something, he could eat truma, it's a mice, he's allowed to eat hektish. But the only issue is he is tame. Now, that's an isser. If you're a tummy person, you can't eat things that are hektish. You can eat other things, eat whatever you want, but not things that are sanctified. So one who eats that, you get malchus. Good? What's the problem, Reuben? But a tummy, good, someone who's impure, he got impure somehow, sha'achal is hektish, he eats something which is sanctified, then he gets malchus. Another case, ve'haba el ha-mikdash tummy, and someone who comes into the Beis HaMikdash when he is tummy, also is a lav. He also gets malchus, someone who came into the Beis HaMikdash when he's impure. Was a bach erver? Bach v'ha oichel, and one who eats chaylev, either forbidden fats, v'dam and blood, v'naisar. What's naisar?
Leftover
from a carbon after the specific. Each carbon has a different time period. Once you finish that time period, you eat that after the time period is up, after expiration date, you get malchus. Ooh, piggle. What's piggle?
The
wrong intention. However, when you get malchus, specifically when he had the wrong intention to eat it or do one of the avodas out of its time. Meaning, if the kohen who was bringing this carbon had a bad thought, he said, you know, I'm going to make sure that we're going to eat this carbon in the wrong time. Or we're going to sacrifice it in the wrong time. There also, that gets a label, this meat gets a label on it, piggle. It's a pickle, piggle. It gets stamped piggle. If you eat that piggle, you'll get malchus. So don't eat that meat. Good?
But these are after warnings, right?
Every case of malchus, only you have to get warned if you ate it. Tell myself, though, by the way, it's piggle. I like piggle. You ate it? like pig. Piggle. It's like... It's piggle. So the guy ate... Piggle sandwich. So he ate it. In the lava. He ate the piggle sandwich in the lava, but I don't know if it's worth it. He's going to have to pay for it now. Right? So it goes to either someone who ate nicer in the lava sandwich, which is leftover carbonus after the time, which has to be burned after the expiration date. Or piggle, someone who ate this carbon which was brought with when the kohen had the wrong intention. It's very important. The kohen has to have the right intention when he brings your carbon. He can mess you up. So make sure you give your carbon to a good kohen. I try to get a guy, you know? It's not really a choice. It was a mishmar, but basically, hopefully, you'll be done. Piggle, right? Over there, they were eating. chutz lezman. There's another type of pickle also that you eat it out of its place, but that's not malchus. Specifically, if the kohen had a mind to eat it out of its time. Good? Vitame, and, or someone who is tame.
Are you talking about the korban tame, or the food's tame, or the person's tame?
Do you want to know who's tame? It's a good question, 1 second. Or, what's the case of tame? It's a good question.
You're eating tame.
You're eating tame. Good. Good. You are pure and you're eating something that's tame. Good. The original case was your tame, and the thing is pure. Now, your tame, you are tar, and the thing is tame. Good. The food is tame. Sheikhet, or someone who slaughters outside the azar, you slaughter a carbon outside the courtyard, right? You're allowed to slaughter Yisrael, but you have to slaughter in the main courtyard. So someone who slaughters outside the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Uma'aleh, or someone who brings up Bachot. So someone brings a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash. You have a carbon, and you decide you don't want to bring it into the Beis HaMikdash. You want to just make your own Mizbeach. That's why at times, this is obviously the time when it's usher to make a private Mizbeach. So you can't make Bamas.
So that vav in front of the
ma'ala
is an or?
Yeah, vav in all the cases means or. Does not mean and. Whenever it says u over here, a vav can mean and it could also mean or. Wherever it says u, doesn't mean and, it means or.
Yes, so the
shochet
is connected to
bachutz. No, va'ashaychet. Or you shechted it outside the... Oh, sorry, yeah, you're right. Nachon, because it would be bachutz, correct. Va'ashaychet, or you shechted it, or umala, or you brought it up bachutz outside the basement, outside the proper place. Good. The oichel chametz by Pesach, the one who eats chametz on Pesach, right, which there actually is karis. The oichel va'oisem lachmei b'kippur, or one who eats or does forbidden labor on Yom Kippur. Va'mefatim es Hashem, or someone who grinds up. I think they say like compounds. I don't think they have fancy English words. Duplicate. It means you grind it up. Yeah, it means you could. It means what it means. The word mefatim means to grind up. It means you make the same ingredients, but what you're doing is you're duplicating the shemen. You're duplicating the shemen from the Shemen HaMishcha, we know there are ingredients in the Torah to anoint the Shemen HaMishcha in the Torah, the anointing oils, right? We anoint special people, like the Kohanim, and this, right? So if you duplicate and you make that, there's an Isser in the Torah, you're not allowed to duplicate the same exact ingredients of the Shemen HaMishcha, the fancy oil, correct? So let's say you do that, you think you're having a good time, right? You can make it, you can do one ingredient off your latitude, but you can't duplicate the same exact ingredients. And specifically if you're trying to make Shemen HaMishcha, it's brought down in Gemara. If you're just doing it just to have it, you're making your ingredients, you like doing it like this, it's a scenario where you're trying to make Shemen, you're trying to duplicate the Shemen HaMishcha, that's your purpose. You want to make some, you want to start anointing Mashiach. I don't know what you want to do, I don't know what your plans are. People have interesting plans, but basically this guy trying to duplicate Shemen HaMishcha to start anointing people with it. Maybe
you? Rashi says Bedugmos.
Bedugmos means in samples. Wow. Yeah, you make a sample Shemen HaMishcha, you put them for sale, sample Shemen HaMishcha to start anointing your next fake Mashiach. Fine. Fatim sectors, or you. That's part of his problem. So fine, we'll give him a mock, then maybe he'll start. There have a Fatim sectors. So also, one who grinds up makes the same ingredients of the Keturis in the, like the incense, right? You make the same exact ingredients if you're able to get a hold of them, right? Or Vahasach, or one who anoints himself with Shemen HaMishcha. One who anoints himself in the oil. So here specifically, it's not referring to your Shemen HaMishcha that you made in your backyard, right? Or you made in your basement. We don't care about that. It's referring to the Shemen HaMishcha of Moshe Rabbeinu. One, if you find the Shemen HaMishcha from Moshe Rabbeinu, go to the Vatican. Maybe it's there also. You find Shemen HaMishcha from Moshe Rabbeinu. And you want to anoint yourself. Oh, it's probably pretty holy. Maybe I'll be like Moshe Rabbeinu now. It's Isser Deraisa. You're not allowed to use that oil. Unless you're supposed to. You're not allowed to stop and use that oil. It's usher to use that oil. It's a lot, and if we catch you using this oil illegally, we're going to whip you. Good? Va'orcha, what's the problem? I have 5 more minutes. What's it? Not good? Va'orcha, nevelus, and one who eats. Va'orcha, nevelus, utrefus. One who eats nevelus, utrefus, shkatsim, or remasim. Now, what in the world is the difference? A nevela is a dead carcass, meaning it was a kosher animal, it just wasn't slaughtered. A trefa is a kosher animal, which was slaughtered. We found holes. Has this 18 types of different issues it could have. So basically, after you slaughter your own meat, make sure it's kosher. It has to be checked. But even these days, after they slaughter, it has to go through a shekel and a thing and check. Fine. Shkatsim or remasim. What's the difference between shkatsim or remasim? I'm sure Arshu has fancy words for it. What's the difference between shkatsim or remasim? Shkatsim are creepy crawlers. What's the difference?
I don't know.
What's the difference? They're both creepy crawlers. They're both disgusting. What's shkatsim?
One creeps and one crawls.
Oh, like shellfish.
Dirty places and the dead.
Oh, so shkotzim are muslim. There's one shot. Shkotzim are these little creepy guys. They're little small guys, which could be even ants, we're going to say, that walk around even on in the water or on earth. Ramasim are more things that are that become about from the dirt, like little worms. Any of these things that are created from the dirt, all these little bugs that I don't know why I'm not a scientist yet. All these different flies, I don't know what comes out of the dirt.
Maggots,
I don't know why. All these things that come from the dirt, those are ramasim. Basically, someone who eats these things, you get malchus. So besides for getting the punishment of eating it, you're also going to get malchus.
What was the
first one? Shkatzim is creepy crawlers, which either from the sea or from the land. Little crawling guys.
Okay,
it doesn't have to be so little.
Yeah.
What?
They originate from above, then one originates from below.
Yes, if they were a Muslim, one shot, there's a lot of shot Muslim Shkatzim are Muslim. Here they bring that from the Tvaris Realm Mishnah, so one shot is Shkatzim, all the creepy crawly guys. Where a Muslim are things that are created. I don't know. I'm sure they have fancy words in art school. I'm saying one shot, I don't know what they say, but I'm saying I need a shot in art school.
Well, it says abominable creatures or crawling creatures.
Fine, so the peerish on art scroll is
abominable creatures or crawling creatures.
Fine, it's a period that I'm saying a peerish on art scroll. I'm explaining art scroll. Hello, I'm explaining art scroll. I'm ready.
No.
It's not kosher fish. It's not kosher. Basically, if you want to eat these things, I don't know. There's no difference because either way you're not going to eat them. What's the difference between a shkasser or a
mussel? But notice this: unkosher fish, birds, insects, reptiles, and rodents.
Okay, fine. Basically, there's a different pshat than basically. You can look up your pshat. It's a chomish and shkasser or mussel. Basically, before you eat these things, basically you can't eat them anyway, so I don't know if it's whatever.
Right.
Fine. Don't worry, if it's crawls, you're not going to eat it. Basically, it's crawling, you can't eat. If it's a bug, you can't eat a bug. It doesn't matter what type of bug it is. No kosher bugs. No bugs, don't eat bugs.
Quit bugging.
Maybe.
Don't leave him in the store.
Okay, fine, it's not a bug. Fine, anyway, let's go. Right, let's try to go further.
Don't we need to put the on
there? It's a nail, let's try to read around. What? No, there's no shirim today. There's no noshing today. There's no shirim today.
There's nothing in
here. Oh, for Rabbi Maimon. My mind's here. Okay, fine. So, what's that kid?
And you're going to give 12:30.
If you want.
He's going to be bench high on the.
If you want. If you want.
Rabbi Mori's at 12:30.
If you want.
Rabbi Mori's an hour.
No, so I'm not. So, what's the chalas? I'm not going to be 12:30.
Huh? I'm having just an hour or half hour.
Fine, basically fine. So we'll stop here. But it's Sunday. We really want to try to finish the Mishnah.
You want to finish it, yeah.
On the Rashi. I'm trying. We're trying. We'll do that.